Thank God there's going to be a swap happening soon, because season 49 of Survivor has been an absolute disaster. The Blue Tribe has lost every single challenge up to this point and has given us yet another disaster tribe in the new era. In this recap, we're going to go through the episode and rank the top three best position players from each tribe, because we know so little about the bottom halves of each of these tribes. I feel like it's counterintuitive to do a full player ranking, considering the fact that we really only know stuff about the top three players on each of these tribes and the two people in the Blue Tribe. It just begs the question, why won't Survivor just go back to two tribes? But at the very least, there will be a swap, so it's at least going to bring some drama. It's going to bring some intrigue, and maybe some of these bottom ranked players, maybe some of these players that we haven't heard a lot from, maybe we'll be able to see them rise a little bit. And maybe even some of these players that have been in a good position in their respective tribe will have to dig their way from the bottom. So the swap is necessary, but we didn't need to get to this point if we just had two tribes to begin with, and we could have had a lot more fun. We could have had a lot more balance. It's been normalized so much to the point where it has just not made for fun television. This is right up there with last season, season 48, where I have been the most bored watching a Survivor season. So unfortunately, not a whole lot to say on this episode. So let's start things off with the disastrous Blue Tribe. Obviously, start things off talking about the saddest scene, the saddest part of this episode, which was when Jake ultimately got taken out of the episode due to being bit by the water snake. You could tell Alex has been in politics for a long time, or has done at least a lot of public speaking, with how he was in the confessional. He literally narrated this whole thing. This kind of gave me a feeling that, again, he's going to be a big player. Either that, or he's going to be somebody that Sophie ultimately takes down. I never pictured that Sophie and Alex were going to be the two survivors from this tribe, because they never really had the connection that Jake and her had, and Sophie always had more of a connection to Jeremiah, who ended up being the person that was voted off in this episode. But once again, Alex was really the main vocal point of this tribe until we got to the tribal portion of the episode. Then we started to hear a little bit more from Sophie. As for Jake, I hate this for Jake, man. Absolutely gut-wrenching for him, and for this whole thing to kind of be centered around Survivor just kind of sucking itself off about its medical facilities is just whack. And they really milked this moment, and it was sad for Jake because he was somebody who was well positioned. We didn't get to see a conclusion here to him and Sophie's storyline, to him and Alex's storyline, because we would have probably got to the situation, do you take Sophie, do you take Alex, you know, what is he gonna do? But we never got that moment. But what we did get was a huge medical facility scene and a huge moment of Survivor sucking their own dick, and emotional scene at tribal where, you know, the other tribes are like, oh man, you guys try so hard. Like, I mean, come on, guys. We're rooting for you. I wish we could just lose this challenge for you. And it was just super cringe and not interesting to watch. And then once we got to the competition, again, the Blue Tribe competed with them physically, even took the lead physically. It's been a common trend all season long. If just one of them could do a puzzle at all, I mean, they would be in great shape. I've truly never seen anything like this. We've seen Garbage Tribe before, but we've never seen it to where they're all just collectively bad at just one portion of a challenge. This tribe cannot do a puzzle to save their entire existence. Sassy Jeff even kind of came back, dropping a line of, I like to be optimistic, but that would be foolish, when everybody else was getting close to capping off their puzzles. But the Blue Tribe was nowhere near hilarious. All for them to, at the end, again, talk about, at least you guys tried. I hate that you guys are going to tribal, but you guys tried so hard. Very annoying. And then once we got to tribal, man, Sophie is such a badass. You know, I've said this since the beginning. Sophie has been my winner pick. Sophie has been somebody that I've been high on. Alex may have been the bigger fish to fry, but she was going to be safe regardless. And it was good knowing in her head that he was going to play it and going with the votes. And either way, she flushed the idol. So the idol is no longer in play. She doesn't have to worry about that. And now that she voted with Alex, I mean, Alex has an undying loyalty to her. So those two are going to ride or die for each other, whether they are on the same tribe during the swap or whether they find each other together on the merge. They have some sort of connection, and it's deeper than just two people that were friends on a tribe. I mean, they survived a lot together. So, and of course, Jeremiah was the one who was voted off of this tribe. And, you know, I think he was a guy guy that was slowly starting to hit his stride. During this episode, I think we kind of saw some shades of how I thought he was going to be, where it's just like, this is just a guy who's here for summer camp or whatever and just happy to be here. We never really got to hear too much in-depth strategy from him. He was eating worms. He was playing to people's signs, but still at times had a hint more of strategy and was a hint more of a gamer than I had thought he was coming into the season. So I got to give him credit for that. As far as the rankings coming out of this blue tribe, I have Sophie at number one and Alex at number two. I think she is one of the savviest players on this cast, socially and strategically, and I think that's going to take her far. Whether Alex is her person moving forward, I don't know. Hopefully once she gets into the swap tribe, she can kind of find a plus one. Not sure if Alex is that person for her, but it could be. And then as far as Alex goes, he is a guy that talks confessional a lot, and he talks with a lot of conviction. And he seems like a guy with how much he talks to us and with how much conviction he does speak with, that he's a guy that is going to make it far. And he's a guy that is probably going to be deep into the merge and is going to be somebody that we should keep an eye on. But the way that he talks is just so run-of-the-mill corporate-y to me. I'm just not the biggest fan, mostly because he hasn't done anything gameplay-wise for me to say, oh my gosh, like, this is a guy who I'm very confident in. Yes, he found a beware advantage. Yes, he's built relationships, but it's not like Sophie was somebody who was super undyingly loyal to him. I mean, if he didn't have an idol, he would have been gone. Her and Jeremiah would have teamed up. They would have got him out. Jake and him were obviously the tightest. I do think that whatever tribe he goes to, he might end up getting looked at as a target. Just how much he talks to us gives me a reason to think that he's going to be here longer, but there's nothing really of substance there. So there could also be a blindside in the works. Could even be getting taken out next round. Let's talk about the Red Tribe. The Red Tribe opened with Nate giving a confessional, talking about what life's been like at the tribe. And I think that means something. I think this means Nate is the figurehead of the Red Tribe. I think Nate is the guy that we should be keeping an eye on. I think Nate is the most important guy on this tribe. Even the outsiders, when they are going around talking about targets, they're thinking that Savannah's a top dog. So I think Nate is in a really, really good position, and I think the show is trying to portray it as that. And as far as paranoia goes, I mean, Sage was the most paranoid person of this episode, as she should be, because she is on the bottom of the tribe. She felt that she wasn't in any important conversations, and she threw out Savannah as a target. This was a great read from Sage. She clocked that Savannah is having quiet conversations with Rizzo, and even said in the confessional that it seemed like she also had a good connection with Nate. So she listed off three out of the four of the core four. The only unfortunate thing is she just didn't know that Shannon was also in this core four. Just the idea of throwing out the biggest target under the bus in a tribe of six right away is a silly move. You should always kind of try to chip them down from the bottom to start in a major alliance if you're trying to come from the bottom. Shannon should have been the person that you're aiming for, Sage, because Shannon ran this information right to Savannah after calling Sage her soul sister in the confessional. And this pissed Savannah right off, and she gave a real angry confessional. Savannah is great, and I think she has the potential to be an actual villain, so I'm interested to see how her game's going to develop. I'm interested to see how her game is going to shift once this tribe swap happens, because if she is in a situation where she is in the minority, where she kind of goes to a tribe, say with like just Juwan, and she's in a tribe with a bunch of yellows, she's going to have to fight for her life, and she's going to have to throw Juwan under the bus. So we will see how this dastardly villain Savannah survives in this tribe swap, but it could be a bad sign for her. The last event from the Red Tribe that I want to talk about is Rizzo finds an idol during a group hunt, and this was weirdly placed in the episode. It was after the challenge, and usually after the challenge, you really only get to hear from the losing tribe, but we get to hear from the Red Tribe for a little bit after tribal to see them go for a group idol hunt, and Rizzo ends up finding it and announces it to everyone. And then he says in the confessional, I don't want anyone to know how excited I am that I just found an idol. And that might have been the funniest shit that I have ever heard in the history of Survivor, because it's like, what do you mean you don't want people to know how excited you were to just find the idol? You found it, pulled it out of the tree, and said, guys, look at this. Would you look at it? Would you look at this? It's so everybody knows you're excited. Man, you told everybody you found it. Come on, Rizzo. It's fucking hilarious. And then as far as the rankings of this tribe heading into the swap, at number three, I have Savannah. Again, I do think she's very go, go, go. She's a high octane player. And I think that if the tribe swap doesn't go her way, she's somebody that could get sniped out of the game just because of her abrasive attitude. And the numbers may not be there for her, so she may start to scramble. So she's somebody that I could see getting taken out. But if she survives here, Savannah's somebody to keep an eye on for later in the game, because she does have numbers on her original tribe of people who like her. At number two, I have Rizzo, man. Rizzo is a guy that everybody likes and is somebody that everybody gets along with. He may not be the most strategical person in the world, but Mr. Rizzo is a likable cat. And I think that wherever he's going to go, he's going to be a likable cat. And at number one, I have Nate. Nate is just cool, calm, collected. And I think anybody from anywhere is going to want to use him as an ally, as a trusted source. And then finally, discussing the yellow tribe, the tribe that we know the least amount, but the tribe that keeps on winning because of Jason's puzzle skills. And speaking of Jason, he is the one that led the camp and said, you know what? We need this idol. Everyone needs to look for this idol together, and we need to do this. MC hates this. She's not a fan of the rah-rah, let's get together, try to find this idol together attitude. This didn't really matter, because this led to MC ending up finding it, and her only telling Steven. Steven's somebody who I have not been high on. I have not had a lot of kind words to say in the past, but they keep giving him confessionals. So, I mean, I have no other reason. I have no other doubts. I should be on the Steven train, I suppose. The last two episodes, they portrayed him a little bit more positively, but the first episode, I felt was a more of a negative, because I feel like they kind of portrayed him as a paranoid guy. But now they're kind of like, okay, well, this is a guy that MC, who is a player I really have high thoughts on, is trusting with this information. And maybe, you know, this could turn around and be like, Trebe, you're right, MC shouldn't have trusted him. But for now, I'm a little bit higher on Steven than I was. And I think it's mainly because of MC trusting him and giving him information more so than anything that Steven actively did. After MC did find this idol, she did the camp rock dance when she found it, which was hilarious, very my era of her to do. She's a very smart player, but has very little charisma. She's very good at explaining exactly how she feels in the game and where she's positioned and what she wants to do, but she does it with very little, I don't want to say conviction, but she does it with very little charm. She's not like somebody that does it up for the cameras, which, you know, I don't want you guys to think that that's a bad thing per se, because somebody like Rizzo is somebody who I can get sick of very fast. Somebody like Alex, somebody I can get sick of really fast. So it actually is kind of a refreshing change to kind of hear somebody like MC. So I do enjoy MC. I think she, just like Sophie, has her wits about her and is somebody who understands the game. As for my ranking on this tribe, it goes MC at number one, Jason at number two, because Jason, right, even though he's kind of this rah-rah guy, I do think he's likable, but he hasn't really done a lot for me strategically. So not too high, not too low on Jason, but again, we don't really hear a lot from this yellow tribe, so we will see how Jason does in the swap. And at number three, I have Steven. Pretty reluctant, but they have skunked a lot of people on this tribe, and they keep giving Steven confessionals. He could either be a beautiful disaster, or he could be somebody that gets far with somebody like MC in this game. Alrighty, guys, I'm very excited to see what this swap has in store for us, because again, the season has just been so boring and doesn't really have a lot of interesting things to talk about, and I can't wait to have more things to talk about, and I think the swap will give that to us. Thank you guys again so much for watching. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button, click the bell icon so you get notified every single time I drop a new video. Thank you guys so much for watching. As always, I hope you have a great rest of your day.